Okay, a lot of today's lecture is going to be covered on the binary to decimal and decimal to binary conversions, and a lot of the aspects of it is going to be dealt through right through the whole course through the Cisco courses. So it's something that you're going to have to keep practicing to become comfortable with. So welcome today to CCNA Discovery Networking for Home and Small Businesses Module 5 for 2010. Network addressing. Members of the human network need to be able to communicate from anywhere at any time. Locating each other and establishing reliable communication channels between us requires a system of global addresses that use both flexible and dynamic. In this chapter, you will learn the basics of IP addressing structure that enables users all over the world to communicate across the network. After completion of this chapter, you should be able to describe the purpose of an IP address and subnet mask and how they are used on the internet. Describe types of IP addresses available. Describe the methods of obtaining an IP address. Describe the use of NAT on a home or small business network integrated services router. Purposes of an IP address. A host needs an IP address to participate on the internet. As you've all done with that exercise I asked you to do, you've discovered that every single one of you has an IP address when you're connected to the internet, whether it be behind an integrated services router or one of your 3G dongles. The IP address is a logical network address that identifies a particular host. It must be properly configured and unique in order to communicate with other devices on the internet. An IP address is assigned to the network interface connection for a host. This connection is usually a network interface card, usually in the device. Examples of end-to-end user devices with network interfaces include workstations, excuse me, servers, network printers, and IP phones. Some servers can have more than one network interface card, and each of these has its own unique IP address. Router interfaces that provide connections to an IP network will also have an IP address. An interface is defined as a device that can send and receive network traffic or packets, and it has an IP address assigned to it. So for an example, how many interfaces would you think was in a home wireless router? Can anybody have a stab at that? I'd like to try and answer that, please. Dexley has two. Your external interface, which connects to the internet, and your internal interface, which connects to the computers that are on the inside of the network with that on that subnet, because an interface is defined as a device that can send and receive internet traffic, whereas those of you that are using the 3G dongles, that's classified as an interface. Every packet sent across the internet has a source and destination IP address. This information is required by networking devices to ensure the information gets to the destination and replies and return to the source. An IP address is simply a series of a 32-bit binary set of zeros and ones. When a host is configured with an IP address, it is entered in a dotted decimal notation number such as 192.168.1.5, whereas the first portion of it, the 192.168.1, is your network portion, and the .5 is your host portion. So the host in that case would be 192.168.1.5. Imagine if you had to enter into 32-bit binary equivalent, which would be 11000000101010 and so on. If you had just mistyped one of the bits, the address would be different and the host may not be able to communicate on the network. The 32-bit IP address is defined with IP version 4 or IPv4 and is currently the most common form of IP addresses on the internet. There are over 4 billion possible IP addresses using a 32-bit addressing scheme. It is very difficult for humans to read a binary IP address. For this reason, the 32 bits are grouped into 4 8-bit called octets. An IP address in this format is hard for humans to read, write, and remember. To make the IP address easier to understand, each octet is represented as its decimal value, separated by a decimal point or period. This is referred to as dotted decimal notation, as we've discussed previously. When a host receives an IP address, it looks at all 32 bits as they are received by the NIC. Humans, on the other hand, need to convert those 32 bits into their 4 octet decimal equivalent. Each octet is made up of 8 bits and each bit has a value. The 4 groups of 8 bits have the same values. The rightmost bit in an octet has a value of 1. And the values of the remaining bits from right to left are 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, and 128. Because these values are calculated by the power of 2, and I'll describe this as well. This is because the IPv4 addresses are using the powers of 2, so that you can work out the binary to decimal maths, which is needed when you are trying to work out if 2 different hosts are on the same network. To work out the value for binary to decimal, you need to know the bit values of each bit in the 8-bit octet. So from the right to left in the last octet, each place value to the left is equal to 2 times the place value to the right, which implies that each place value to the right is equal to the place value to the left divided by 2. And here is the value of each bit in the 8 bits of the last octet, which starts from 0. Because we're using the 10 base numbering system, which works from 0 to 9, and 2 to the power of 0 is 1, because anything to the power of 0 apart from 0 is 1. 2 to the power of 1 is 2. 2 to the power of 4, 2 to the power of 2 is 4. 2 to the power of 3 is 8. So what would you expect the next value to be for the 2 to the power of 4? Can anybody have a guess at what that could be? Yeah, that's correct. And 2 to the power of 5, can someone else? Yeah. Rwani, what would 2 to the power of 5 be? Remembering that you're doubling the previous value. So if 2 to the power of 4 was 16, what would you expect the 2 to the power of 5 to be? If you're doubling that previous value. It would be 32, wouldn't it? Rwani?
Yes, Mr. Adams, 32.
Yeah, and if it 2 to the power of 6, what would that be, Rwani?
Uh, 64.
Yep, that's it. Okay, Ashoka, what's 2 to the power of 7 in that case?
128.
Yep, excellent. That's what we need to know. And the next values multiplied by 2. So in the next octet, if you are needing to know a number of hosts using a certain amount of bits, 2 to the power of 8 is 256. And it keeps multiplying by 2 till you get to the 32nd bit. But generally speaking, you're only dealing with that 8 bits at a time. So you'll also need to know how to convert the binary to decimal and decimal back to binary. So because each value is either going to be an on or an off, or 1 or a 0. So for an example, if you've got a binary number of 11, 00, 00, 00, which is 2 ones and 6 zeros from the left to the right, that's 1 of 2 to the power of 7, which is 128, plus 1 lot of 2 to the power of 6, which is 64. And because the rest are zeros, those two values add up to 192. Does that make sense to everyone?
Again, please.
Yeah, I'll run through that again. If you because binary is either a 1 or a 0, if you have a value of 1, depending on where that 1 is, it's the value of the decimal value of the binary equivalent. So if you've got 8 bits with their values, and for an example you have a value, a binary number of 11, 00, 00, 00, starting from the left you have 1 lot of 2 to the power of 7, which is 128, plus 1 lot of 2 to the power of 6, which is 64. And because the rest are zeros, you would only add up the two values where there's 1, so those values, 128 plus 64, will give you 192. Or another example, If you have a binary number of 101, which is the last three bits to the right, so you can actually start, if it makes it easier for you, you can actually start from the last bit on the right, which is one lot of 2 to the power of 0, which is 1. 0 lots of 2 to the power of 1 plus 1 lot of 2 to the power of 2, which gives you 4. So 4 plus 1 is 5. Does that make sense? I will actually be sending a few examples around. Plus, I'll get you to do a few exercises with these, because the more you get used to doing these things, the easier it'll become for you. And you need to get this down pat, because you'll need it more and more as you go through the courses, especially when you'll need to identify whether hosts are on the same subnet or how many hosts that you're needing to for a different network. Okay, another example. If you're calculating from decimal to binary, if you say had a decimal of 123, the easiest way to work this out is to find out what the largest value is less than 123. So that is 64. So 123 minus 64 is 59. So you would put a value of 1, a binary 1, for that 64th bit, which is 2 to the power of 6. So then you would put it on, then you'd find out what the next value, the largest value that is smaller than 59, and that is 32, yeah. So you would minus 32 from 59, which gives you 27. Yep, so you'd put a 1 for the 32-bit value, which is 2 to the power of 4. I've lost my place. Yeah, and then you've got
16.
Then the next value smaller than the largest value smaller than 27 is 16. So you would have another one binary one value for that. So and then 16 minus 27 will give you 11. And then you go to the next largest value, which is 8. Yep. So then 11 minus 8 is 3. So you'd have another one binary one value for that. So then you go to the next largest and 3. Yep, 2. So where the 2 to the power of 2 it was 4, you'd have a 0 there.
Yes, we need to put 0 on top of 4.
Yeah, that's right. So the next highest value less than 3 is 2. So you would put a 1 there. So 3 from 2 is 1. And, of course, 1 from 1 is 0, so you would put another 1 there. So what that would then in turn give you 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. So one lot of 64, one lot of 32, one lot of 16, one lot of 8, zero lots of 4, one lot of 2, and one lot of 1. Does that make sense to you? Monique and Rowani, how are you going there?
Not very clear, Mr. Adams.
Yeah, I've got a simpler one as well. I'll just go over to that. Okay, to convert the binary number 10110 to decimal, working from the right, you've got 0 lots of 2 to the power of 0, which is 0, plus 1 lot of 2 to the power of 1, which is 2, plus 1 lot of 2 to the power of 2 is 4, plus 0 lots of 2 to the power of 3, which is 0, plus 1 lot of 2 to the power of 4, which is 16. So then you add those powers up together, which is 2 plus 4 plus 16, it gives you 22. Does that make more sense, Rowani?
Fine, Mr. Adams.
Yeah. I'll send these examples I've got out to you, plus I'll actually go through and send you some other exercises, and the more you practice them, the more that you'll get the hang of it.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Determine the value of each octet by adding the values of their positions wherever there is a binary one present, as we've just discussed. If there is a zero in the position, you do not add the value. If all 8 bits are zeros, then the value of the octet is zero, which generally is your network address. If all 8 bits are all ones, say 1111111, the value of the 8 octet is 255, which is 128 plus 64 plus 32 plus 16 plus 8 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1 gives you a total of 255. Which is your broadcast address in any network. If there are 8 bits mixed, such as an example of 00100111, the value of the octet is 39, which is 32 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1. So the value of each of the 4 octets can range from 0 to 255, which gives you a possible total combination values of 256, because 0 is counted as well as one of the values. The logical 32-bit IP address is hierarchical and is made up of 2 parts. The first part is your network portion, and the second part identifies the host on the network. Both parts are required in an IP address. As an example, if a host has an IP address of 192.168.18.57, the first 3 octets, the 192.168.18, identifies the network portion of the address, and the last octet, the 57, identifies the host. This is known as a hierarchical addressing because the network portion indicates the network in which each unique host address is located. Routers only need to know how to reach each network rather than needing to know the location of each individual host. Another example of hierarchical network is the telephone system, with a telephone number, a country code, area code, and exchange represent the network address, and the remaining digits represent the local phone number. Like, as an example, most of you that are using the 3G dongles have got a 10 dot IP address, which I'll describe momentarily, which is a Class A address, because your IP addresses are split up into four different classes. Now, as I said, there is two paths to every IP address. How do hosts know which portion is the network and which portion is the host? This is the job of the subnet mask. When a host, an IP host, is configured, a subnet mask is assigned along with an IP address. Like the IP address, the subnet mask is 32 bits long. The subnet mask signifies which part of the IP address is network and which part is the host. The subnet mask is compared to the IP address from the left to the right, bit for bit. This is in the subnet mask represent the network portion, and the zeros represent the host portion. In an example, the first three bits, the first three octets are network, and the last octet represents the host. When a host sends a packet, it compares its subnet mask to its own IP address and destination IP address. If the network bits match, both the source and destination host, on the same network, and the packet can be delivered locally. Thanks, Ashoka. If they do not match, the sending host forwards the packet to the local router interface to be sent on to the other network. The subnet masks we see often with home and small business networking are 255.0.0, 8 bits, or 255.255.0.0, 16 bits, and 255.255.255.0, 24 bits, which is an A, B, or C class network. A subnet mask of 255.255.255.0 decimal, or 11111111.11111111.11.11.000000 binary uses 24 bits to identify network number and leaves 8 bits to number the host on the network. To calculate the number of hosts that can be on the network, take the number of number 2 to the power of the number of host bits. So 2 to the power of 8 equals 256. From this number, we subtract 2 from 256, which gives you 254. The reason we subtract 2 is because all ones within the host portion of an IP address is a broadcast address, and for that network and cannot be assigned to a specific host. All zeros within the host portion indicate the network ID, and again, cannot be assigned to a specific host. remembering that zero is counted from 0 to 255. Powers of 2 can be calculated easily with the Windows calculator, and it comes with all Windows operating systems. Another way to determine the number of bits of a host available is add up the values of available host bits. So as we said earlier, like 128 plus 64 plus 32 plus 16 plus 8 plus 4 plus 2 plus 1 equals 255. This is where I really wish you guys had those pegboards, but I'm still trying to get those manufactured for you. From this number, subtract 1 from 255, which gives you 254 possible hosts. It is not necessary to subtract 2 because the value of zeros is zero and is not included in the addition. With a 16-bit mask, there are 16 bits in 2 octets for host addresses, and a host address can have all ones, 255, in one of the octets. This might appear to be a broadcast, but as long as the other octet is not all ones, it is a valid host address. So you might have 172.16.255.1 or .3 or .128 as an example. Remember that hosts look at all bit host bits together, not at octet values. IP address classes and default subnet masks. The IP address and subnet mask work together to determine which portion of the IP address represents the network address and which portion represents the host address. IP addresses are grouped into 5 classes, A, B, C, and commercial addresses. Commercial addresses and are assigned to hosts, whereas a class D is reserved for multicast. Use the class E and class E is for experimental use only. Class C addresses have 3 octets for the network portion and 1 octet for the host portion. The default subnet mask for a C class address, which is 24 bits, which is 255.255.255.0. Class C addresses are usually assigned to small networks, whereas Class B addresses have 2 octets to represent the network portion and 2 to represent the host portion. The default subnet mask for a Class B is 16 bits, and that in decimal is 255.255.0.0. These addresses are typically used for small to medium-sized networks. Whereas a Class A addresses have only 1 octet to represent the network portion and 3 octets to represent the host portion. The default subnet mask for a Class A address is 8 bits, which is 255 decimal dot 0 dot 0 dot 0. These addresses are typically assigned to large organizations. The class of an address can be determined by the value of the first octet. For instance, if the first octet of an IP address has a value range of 192 to 223, it is classified as a Class C address. For as an example, 200.14.193.67 is a Class C address, and the 200.14.193 is the network portion of that address, and the 67 is the host portion of that address. IP address classes described as Class A. The first octet range in decimal is 1 through to 127, and the 127 is a loopback address and is not used in networks. It's only for testing purposes. The first octet bits starts with 0. The network and host parts of the IP address, and the default subnet mask are 255.0.0.0 or 11111111, and then all the rest are zeros. Numbers of possible networks and hosts per network is 126 subnets, which is 2 to the power of 7 minus 2, excuse me. This gives you a possibility of 16,777,214 hosts per subnet, which is 2 to the power of 24 minus 2. Whereas a Class B address, the first octet range in decimal is 128 to 191, and the default subnet mask for that in decimal is 255.255.0.0, which is 11111111.11111111, and then all the rest are zeros. Numbers of possible networks and hosts per network for that is 16,382 subnets, which is 2 to the power of 14 minus 2. And 65,534 hosts per subnet, which is 2 to the power of 16 minus 2, remembering that you've got your broadcast address and your network address. That's why you're minusing 2 each time. Whereas a Class C, the decimal range is 192 to 223. Which you'll find on most home and small business networking equipment. And the default subnet mask for that in decimal is 255.255.255.0, which is 81s.81s.81s, then the rest are zeros. Number of possible networks and the number of possible hosts per network is 2,097,150, which is 2 to the power of 21 minus 2, and 254 hosts per net, which is 2 to the power of 8 minus 2. There again, you're minusing 2 because 1 is for the network and 1 is for the broadcast address. Whereas a Class D, which is your multicast class of addresses, has a range of 224 to 239, and it's not used for commercial purposes. And a Class E, which is for scientific purposes only, ranges from 240 to 255. Note all zeros and all ones are invalid host addresses. Then we have public and private addresses. All hosts that connect directly to the internet require a unique public IP address, as you've got with your 3G dongles. And because of the finite number of 32-bit addresses available, there is a risk of running out of IP addresses. One solution to this problem was to reserve some private addresses for use exclusively inside an organization. This allows hosts within an organization to communicate with one another without the need of a unique public IP address. RFC 1918 is a standard that reserves several ranges of addresses within each class of A, B, and C. These private addresses range consist of a single class A network, 16 class B networks, and 256 class C networks. This gives a network administrator considerable flexibility in assigning internal addresses, remembering the word internal addresses. A very large network can use a Class A private network, which allows for over 16 million private addresses. One medium-sized network, a Class B private network, could be used, which provides over 65,000 addresses. Home and small business networks typically use a single Class C private address, which allows up to 254 hosts. The Class A network, the 16 Class B networks, or the 256 Class C networks can be used within any size organization. Typically, many organizations use a Class A private network. In RFC 1918, or Request for Comment, number 1918, private addresses are as follows. The Class A is the is reserved for the 10.0.0 address, or the private Class B addresses are 172.16.0.0 through to 172.31.255.0. And the private address Class C is 192.168.0.0 through to 192.168.255.0. Private addresses can be used internally by hosts in an organization as long as the hosts do not connect directly to the internet. Therefore, the same set of private addresses can be used by multiple organizations. Private addresses are not routed on the internet and will be quickly blocked by an ISP router. The use of private addresses can provide a measure of security since they are only visible on the local network. That means inside the network where you've got an external routable IP address which is assigned by your service provider. And if you're connected through a wireless router, or if it's only wired only, you have an internal private addresses behind that router. There are also private addresses that can be used for diagnostic testing of devices. The type of private address is known as a loopback address, which is your Class A 127.0.0 network is reserved for loopback addressing. So if you ping 127.0.0 at the command prompt, you should get a result from that. Unicast, broadcast, and multicast addresses. In addition to address classes, we also categorize IP addresses in unicast, broadcast, or multicast address. Hosts can use IP addresses to communicate one-to-one, which is unicast, or one-to-many, which is multicast, or one-to-all, which is broadcast. A unicast address is the most common type of IP network. A packet with a unicast destination address is intended for a specific host. As an example, it's a host with an IP address of 192.168.5.1.5 source address requesting a web page from a server of an IP address of 192.168.1.200 as a destination address. For a unicast packet to be sent and received, a destination IP address must be in the IP packet header. A corresponding destination MAC address must be also present in the Ethernet frame header. The IP address and the MAC address combined to deliver data to one specific destination host. Whereas a broadcast address, with a broadcast, the packet contains a destination IP address with all ones in the host portion. This means that all the hosts on that local network broadcast domain will receive and look at the packet. Many network protocols such as ARP, which is Address Resolution Protocol, and DHCP, which is Dynamic Host Control Protocol, use broadcasts. A Class C network 192.168.1.0 with a default subnet mask of 255.255.255.0 as a broadcast address of 192.168.1.255. The host portion is decimal 255 or binary equivalent is 1111111 or all ones in that case. A Class B network of 172.16.0.0 with a default subnet mask of 255.255.0.0 as a broadcast of 172.16.255.255. Whereas a Class A network of 10.0.0.0 with a default subnet mask of 255.0.0 as a broadcast of 10.255.255.255. A broadcast IP address for a network needs a corresponding broadcast MAC address in the Ethernet frame. On Ethernet networks, a broadcast MAC address of 48 ones displayed in hexadecimal as ff.ff.ff.ff.ff.ff. FF giving you all ones in binary. Multicast addresses allow a source device to send a packet to a group of devices. Devices that belong to a multicast group are assigned a multicast group IP address. The range of multicast addresses is from 224.0.0.0 to 239.255.255.255. Since multicast addresses represent a group of addresses, sometimes called a host group, they can only be used as the destination of a packet. The source will always have a unicast address. Examples of where multicast addresses will be used is in remote gaming, where many players are connected remotely but playing the same game. Another example would be distance learning through video conferencing, where many students are connected to the same class. as with a unicast or broadcast address. Multicast IP addresses need a corresponding multicast MAC address to actually deliver frames on the local network. The multicast MAC address is a special value that begins with 01.00.5e in hexadecimal. The value ends by converting the lower 23 bits of the IP multicast group of addresses into the remaining 6 hexadecimal characters of the Ethernet address. Each hexadecimal character is 4 binary bits. How IP addresses are obtained? They're either obtained through a static and dynamic address assignment. Can anybody tell me what's meant by a static IP address? Yep, that's correct. What is meant by a dynamic IP address? Anybody other than Janitha?
Addresses that changes frequently? Or?
It changes every time that you connect to the internet.
To the internet.
Yes, that's right.
So, to describe a static address, a static address with a static assignment, the network administrator must manually configure the network information for a host. At a minimum, that includes the host IP address, subnet mask, and default gateway. Static addresses have some advantages. Why would someone assign a static address in a business situation in a network? Does anybody have a try and answer that, please?
The network administrator could easily access to the other machines if he knows the IP address.
It's mainly where you need a server to be contactable all the time in the network, or a network printer, a network file server, whereas if it kept changing all the time, it would be harder to locate that server or printer on the network all the time. If it remains static, which is a permanent address assigned by their administrator, and it doesn't change, then it's easy to locate that device or server each time that you need to access it. Static assignment of addressing information can provide increased control of network resources, but it can be time consuming to enter the information for each host. When entering IP addresses statically, the host only performs basic error checks on the IP address, therefore errors are more likely to occur. When using static IP addressing, it is important to maintain an accurate list of which IP addresses are assigned to which devices. Additionally, these are permanent addresses and are not normally reused. That's why when you if you're doing any sort of networking in a large situation, you better to document all the IP addresses that you've assigned statically to devices. Whereas dynamic addresses on a local network is often the case that the user population changes frequently. New users arrive with laptops and need a connection. Others have new workstations that need to be connected. Rather than have the network administrator assign IP addresses for each workstation, it is easier to have IP addresses assigned automatically. This is done using a protocol known as Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, but it's also Dynamic Host Control Protocol is known as well, or DHCP. DHCP provides a mechanism for the automatic assignment of addressing information, such as IP address, subnet mask, default gateway, and other configuration information. DHCP is generally the preferred method of assigning IP addresses to hosts on large networks since it reduces the burden of network support staff and virtually eliminates entry errors. Because if you put the wrong information and two systems are using the same IP addresses, they won't communicate on the network. Another benefit of DHCP is that an address is not permanently assigned to a host, but is only leased for a period of time, generally 24 hours, but that actually can be changed. If the host is powered down and taken off the network, the address is returned to the pool of addresses for reuse. This is especially helpful with mobile users that come and go on the network. So if you've got an office that only has 64 possible addresses and only half of the staff are there at one time, because of they might be there in different shifts, as they go off shift, the next lot comes on with, say, laptops or different workstations, their IP address is assigned dynamically. DHCP servers. If you enter a wireless hotspot at an airport or coffee shop, DHCP or Dynamic Host Control Protocol makes it possible for you to access the internet. As you enter the area, your laptop DHCP client contacts the local DHCP server via wireless connection. The DHCP server assigns an IP address to your laptop. Like with your 3G dongles, you'll find if you do an ipconfig/all, each time you log off from the internet, then log back on again, your IP address will have changed. Various types of devices can be DHCP servers, as long as they are running DHCP service software. With most medium to large networks, the DHCP server is usually a local dedicated PC-based server. The security issues, if you're behind in a network that's more secure than if you're directly connected to the net, but then it's dependent on your firewalls and antivirus programs as well. But if you're behind a wireless router or a normal router, which is more secure because your internal private address isn't accessed directly on the internet. It's only your external routable address, which is assigned by your service provider, which is accessed at all at any time. With home networks, the DHCP server is usually located at the ISP, and a host on the home network receives its IP configuration directly from the ISP, such as when you're using your 3G dongles. Many home networks and small businesses use an integrated router to connect to the ISP modem. In this case, the integrated router is both a DHCP client and a server. So the DHCP server in the integrated router assigns the PCs their IP address dynamically, but you can also set a static IP address in internally, which we've done here. The integrated router acts as a client to receive its IP configuration from the ISP and then acts as a DHCP server for internal private addresses. In addition to PC-based servers and integrated routers, other types of networking devices such as dedicated routers can provide DHCP services to clients, although this is not common. Configuring DHCP. When a host is first configured as a DHCP client, it does not have an IP address, subnet mask, or default gateway. It obtains this information from a DHCP server, either on the local network or one located at the ISP. So in your cases where you've got the 3G dongles, your ISP is assigning your IP address dynamically each time you connect to the internet, and your IP address, because it's dynamic, it is changing each time you connect. Actually, that would be a good exercise for you to do. Connect to the internet, go to your command prompt, do an ipconfig/all, note the IP address that you've got, log off the internet, then log back on again and do the same thing again, and you'll notice that your IP address has changed because it's assigned dynamically. Unless, of course, you've had permission to obtain a static address. The DHCP server is configured with a range or pool of IP addresses that can be assigned to DHCP clients. A client that needs an IP address will send a DHCP discover message, which is a broadcast with a destination IP address of 255.255.255 or 32 ones, and a destination MAC address of ff.ff.ff.ff.ff.ff or 48 ones, all ones being your broadcast. All hosts on the network will receive the broadcast DHCP frame, but only a DHCP server will reply. The server will respond with a DHCP offer, suggesting an IP address for the client. The host that sends a DHCP request to that server asking to use the suggested IP address, the server responds with a DHCP acknowledgement. For most home and small business networks, a multifunction device provides DHCP services to the local network clients. To configure a Linksys wireless router, as an example, you can access its graphical interface by going into your web browser and typing the gateway address of the router, which generally on those is a 192.168.1.1, and you'll get a screen which is on those particular routers is accessible, and you can just navigate to the section where the DHCP configuration is. The IP address of 192.168.1.1 and the subnet mask of 255.255.255.0 are the defaults for the internal router interface. and the 192.168.1.1 is your gateway address. And this is the default gateway for all hosts on the local network and also the internal DHCP server IP address. Most Linksys wireless routers and other home integrated routers have DHCP server enabled by default. It's also an important note that not all home and small business networking equipment is accessible through the web interface, especially a lot of the D-Link products. On the DHCP configuration screen, a default DHCP range is available, or you can specify a starting address for the DHCP range. Do not use the 192.168.1.1, and the number of addresses can be assigned. The lease time can also be modified. The default is 24 hours. The DHCP configuration feature on most integrated services routers gives information about connected hosts and IP addresses, their associated MAC addresses and lease times. The DHCP client table also shows the client name and whether it is connected via Ethernet or the wireless interface. Those home networking equipment, they actually have a 4-port switch plus the other port for the wireless side, and it's actually classified as a 5-port switch because the Ethernet and wireless ports are bridged inside the router. Network boundaries and address space. The router provides a gateway through which hosts on the network can communicate with hosts on different networks. Each interface on a router is connected to a separate network. The IP address assigned to the interface identifies which local network is connected directly to it. Each host on a network must use the router as a gateway to other networks. There, as an example, if you had two networks of 192.168.1.0 and another network on the other port connected to 192.168.2.0, it needs the router for those two networks to communicate. Therefore, each host must know the IP addresses of the router interface connected to the network where the host is attached. This address is known as the default gateway addresses. It can either be statically configured on the host or received dynamically by DHCP. When an integrated router is configured to be a DHCP server for the local network, it automatically sends the correct interface IP address to the host as the default gateway address. In this manner, all hosts on the network can use the IP address to forward messages to hosts located at the ISP and get access to hosts on the internet. Integrated routers are usually set to be DHCP servers by default. The IP address of the local router interface becomes the default gateway address for the host configuration. The default gateway is provided either statically or by DHCP. When an integrated router is configured as a DHCP server, it provides its own internal IP address as the default gateway to DHCP clients. As an example, our home network here, our default gateway is 192.168.34.1. And we have a second wireless access point, which is getting its DHCP information from the main integrated services router, and it forwards on the DHCP information to others that connect to that second wireless access point. The integrated router acts as a DHCP server for all hosts attached to it, either by Ethernet, cable, or wirelessly. These local hosts are referred as to being located on an internal or inside network, which are your private IP addresses. Most DHCP servers are configured to assign private addresses to the host on the internal network rather than internal router or public addresses. This ensures that by default, the internal network is not directly accessible from the internet. The default IP address configured on the local integrated router interface is usually a private class C address, like the 192.168.1 is a standard network address on most network integrated services routers that you would have in a home or small business situation. When configured as a DHCP server, the integrated router provides addresses in this range. It also provides the subnet mask information and its own interface IP address as the default gateway. Many ISPs also use DHCP servers to provide IP addresses to the internet side of the integrated router installed at the customer's site. Network assigned to the internet side of the integrated router is referred to as the external or outside network. So you've got your internal private addresses and your external outside network address, which is your internet, which is your routable address. When an integrated router is connected to the ISP, it acts like a DHCP client to receive the correct external network IP address for the internet interface. But in our case here, we have a static IP address. The integrated router serves as the boundary between the local internal network and the external internet. There are several ways hosts can be connected to an ISP and the internet. Whether or not an individual host is assigned a public or private address depends on how it is connected. With a direct connection, some customers have a single computer with a direct connection from the ISP through a modem, or in your cases, your wireless dongles, or you might have a satellite connection as well, is another option. In this case, the public address from the ISP DHCP server is assigned to a single host. Connections through an integrated router, when there is more than one host that needs to access the internet, the ISP modem can be attached directly to an integrated router instead of directly to a single computer. This enables the creation of a home or small business network. The integrated router receives the public address from the ISP. Internal hosts receive private addresses from the integrated router. It is really important that you understand the difference between public and the private addresses, because private addresses aren't directly accessible from the internet. Connections through a gateway device. Gateway devices combine an integrated router and a modem in one unit and connect directly to the ISP service. As an integrated router, the gateway device receives a public address from the ISP, and internal PCs will receive private addresses from the gateway device. And this, in an integrated services router, one of the main aspects of how your internal addresses become translated to your outside address is through what's called network address translation. The integrated router receives a public address from the ISP, which allows it to send and receive packets on the internal network. It, in turn, provides private addresses to local network clients. Since private addresses are not allowed on the internet, a process is needed for translating private addresses into unique public addresses to allow local clients to communicate on the internet. The process is to convert private addresses to internet routable addresses and is called Network Address Translation, or NAT. With NAT, a private local source IP address is translated to a public global address. The process is reversed for incoming packets. The integrated router is able to translate many internal IP addresses to the same public address using NAT, or Network Address Translation. Only packets destined for other networks need to be translated. So if you've got a network of 192.168.1.0 and you've got PCs communicating with one another, those packets being sent between those hosts on that network don't need to be translated, and yes, you're sending information or packets out of that internal network. And that's why network address translation is needed through an integrated services router. These packets must pass through the gateway, where the integrated router replaces the source host private IP address with its own public routable IP address. Although each host on the internal network has a unique private IP address assigned to it, the host must share the single internet routable address assigned to the integrated router. So, in summary, without an IP address, a host cannot participate on the internet. whether you're using an mobile phone which connects to the internet or a normal laptop or desktop computer or any other device that accesses the internet. We discussed the importance of IP addressing and its hierarchical structure and the methods of obtaining an IP address for a networking device, whether it be static or dynamically assigned. Each logical IP address is made up of two parts, the network ID and the unique host ID on that network. An IP address is a series of 32-bit binary numbers of ones and zeros that are grouped into 8-bit bytes called octets. The four octets are each converted into a decimal number, which is referred to as a dotted decimal notation. The IP addresses and subnet masks work together to determine which portion the IP address represents the network address and which portion represents the host address. IP addresses are grouped into five classes. Class A, which is the 0 to 127. Your class B address from 128 to 191. And your class C address from 192 to 223 and so on. But your A, B and C classes are the main two that you'll be working with in the labs and worksheets. Each class of IP addresses has its own default subnet mask. For example, a class A uses a default subnet mask of 255.0.0.0. Class B has a default subnet mask of 255.255.0.0. And your class C has a default subnet mask of 255.255.255.0. IP addresses are also classified as public or private addresses. Private addresses are unique and are not used on the internet. Hang on, get that. Public addresses are unique and are used on the internet, whereas private addresses can be used internally by hosts in any organization. Private addresses must be translated to the routable addresses in order for hosts to communicate on the internet. Hosts can use IP addresses to communicate one-to-one or unicast, or one-to-many, which is multicast, or one-to-all, which is broadcast. IP addresses can be assigned either static or dynamically, which we've discussed. If assigning addresses statically, the IP address subnet mask and the default gateway must be all configured manually. Static addresses are typically required for servers that are accessed from the internet. DHCP is preferred method of assigning IP addresses on large networks because it reduces the burden of network support staff. The integrated service router or ISR or another multifunction device acts as a DHCP client to receive its unique IP configuration from the ISP. It then acts as a DHCP server to assign IP addresses to internal hosts on the local network. Private IP addresses from the inside and organization must be translated to a unique public IP address before the packet goes onto the internet using network address translation. Routers provide a boundary that separates local networks from the internet. A host default gateway is the router's interface connected to the local network that is used to communicate with destinations on other networks. So in other words, you need a router to communicate between one network and another. Many gateway routers translate private LAN IP addresses to internet routable IP addresses using a process called network address translation, or NAT. When more than one private IP address is translated to a single public IP address, the router keeps track of each source IP address and port number being translated. So return all traffic is directed to the correct host.